This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Talking finance this afternoon, a much, much debated hot topic at the moment. And we've got an expert to help us out. Solving your financial problems, we've got Jessica Cook, private client advisor with AES International. Hello, Jessica.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Absolute pleasure. Welcome to Art Dubai.
Thank you.
It's a bit different to the studio.
It is a bit different. Yeah, it's very strange.
We're in the lobby, so do give us a wave. Come and say hi. We are here and... thankfully, a chef brought some amazing scones. So if you're peckish, you can come and say hi, grab a smoked salmon sandwich. Or have you had a scone yet, Jessica?
I haven't. I'm waiting till afterwards, but I've got my eye on them.
You might have to move fast because I've got my eye on about 10. Now, in terms of you travelling and advising around the world, how do you generally split your time?
I tend to split my time mainly between Hong Kong and Dubai, sometimes in the UK. I'm probably in Dubai at least once a month, and so I travel between the two.
Yeah. Great to get an international perspective here, and lots of questions already in the bank. It's 4001 to send yours in. Do you want to just get straight into it?
Yeah. Although actually, I wanted to start off. Do you remember last time when we met in January?
Yes.
And we were talking about New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
And
oh,
we were,
no.
Do you remember
yeah,
we
I
were
do,
talking?
I know what you're going to ask me.
With the 365-day challenge.
Yeah.
Well, did you do it?
I was going to. Have I done it? No.
Well, I tried it and I failed miserably.
So, for anyone who doesn't know, can you explain what the 365-day challenge is?
Yeah. Well, we were speaking in January about New Year's resolutions.
Saving money is always the hot one.
Yeah. And so the 365-day challenge is saving money. You save a little bit of money every day for a week. And you go through the week and that amount of money increases and then you start again. But you're saving money for 365 days.
So on a Sunday, you might save 10 dirhams, you know, and 20, yeah. then 30 and so on. What I'm finding myself doing is I just put coins in a jar and then when I need to go to the shop, I just get coins out of the jar. There's no saving going on at all.
I mean, that's what I tend to do with the coins in the jar thing. But I tried this 365-day challenge because it was, you know, all the rage. And I have to say, it is all about automation because it is so difficult to keep track.
Well, what I find is I never have change. So if it's a 20 dirham day, I'm not going to have 20 dirhams in my purse.
Yeah.
It's not realistic
no,
for me.
No, and if you're travelling, you forget. And
what I would say about the coins in the jar, if you do like a proper kind of money box rather than a jar where you can't get at it, we did that a few years ago and ended up buying our Christmas dinner with 800 dirhams that we'd saved throughout the year.
Yeah, but it's surprising.
It's great.
It's surprising.
Oh, look, free Christmas dinner.
Yeah, and I think the best place to put it is, you know, as you walk in the front door.
Hall table.
Get rid of it, yeah.
Okay, send in your saving tips. We would love to hear them. And we've got loads of messages, of course, coming in. People are sharing their three words about their wife or mum. Life's best gift, says Khan. You are saying sweet, beautiful and hardworking. Oh, Dan, Brit is beautiful, strong-willed and compassionate. Arvin saying, my best friend. So keep those coming in. We're just asking you to describe your wife and mother in three words. This is to go into the draw to win a two-night stay. That is at the Dubai, the Desert Island Resort and Spa. It's absolutely gorgeous, 2 hours drive from Abu Dhabi. Questions galore for you, Jessica Cook. I think it's still a very hot topic on the savings front. Peter has been in touch, he's in the Springs, saying, I really need some financial advice, but all I hear is that the financial advisors are dishonest and just out for the fees. How do I find a reliable one who isn't just trying to sell me expensive products?
Yes, I'm sorry to hear that. And I do, I know that, sometimes financial advisors in Dubai do get a bad rap. What you want to be looking for is a company that is a fiduciary. So therefore, they will have your interest in their best heart. So a fiduciary will typically charge an annual fee rather than trying to push you products that have some sort of commission attached to them. So look for a fiduciary when you're looking to work with a financial advisor.
And look at that fee structure
yes,
as
exactly.
well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you want to avoid the commission-based model and try and work with a fee-based advisor.
And Rinesh has got in touch saying, I've just started to save a little bit of money each month. Good man. We're not. Where should I put it? Is it possible to get an interest rate that's higher than inflation?
Unfortunately not. Gone are the days of the 1980s and high interest bank accounts. So, it's very hard to find something that pays fixed interest. So, I think the best thing that you could do is go and sit down with a financial advisor to work out the best course of action and work out a financial plan.
What a message from Vahan earlier, Jessica, who And I think this is a particularly timely one because we're seeing a real explosion of contactless cards here in the region. The UK has been going for a little bit longer, but here, you know, petrol stations much more common, and in the supermarkets too. And Vihan is concerned, says, I've heard that contactless cards are really vulnerable. Is it true that criminals could just stand next to you with a card machine and steal your money?
Yes, I think, you see, just like debit cards and credit cards, unfortunately, contactless cards, they can be used in the wrong way, and there is that possibility. If you're really worried, Vivan, that the best thing that you could do is just keep cash in your back pocket. That's the safest thing, because then you can keep hold of it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, there is the potential
there is
for
the risk.
That. Yeah.
So there you go. I was hoping to clear up a few myths there, but it seems we're right to be concerned. James is asking, I'm obviously not earning a pension out here, but is it possible to arrange one back home? Good expat finance question, James.
Very good. Probably one that I get asked a lot. James, I'm not sure where you're from, though. So it's difficult to say. I'm going to presume that you're from the UK. And if you're from the UK, then obviously one thing that you want to look at is your state pension, because you can contribute to that while you're offshore. You can't contribute to a UK pension, but there are plenty of options for retirement planning while you're an expat and while you're living in the UAE.
I'm going to dread asking you this question. How old should we be when we start thinking about a pension?
Gosh. As early as possible. Really, in an ideal world, people would start putting into a pension when they first start work.
So I've got to go back in time.
You're going back in time to your 20s. Because
Great.
You know, what you're doing then is you're making it easier for yourself. Mm-hmm. The older you get, the less time you have.
And also the more dependents you have as well.
Well, exactly. So the more expensive life becomes. Mm-hmm. So the earlier you can start, the better.
I feel slightly sick. Jessica Cook joining us this afternoon. She is a private client advisor with AES International. And speaking of state pensions, Jenny's asking something similar, saying, I'm from the UK. I want to make sure I get my state pension despite being an expat. Is that possible?
Yes, it's absolutely possible. So in order to get your UK state pension, which you are entitled to as a UK national, you need to have 10 qualifying years. And in order to get the full state pension, you need 35 qualifying years. And you can pay for those years while you're living offshore. What you need to do first is find out how many years you have under your belt and how many you need to make up. And in order to do that, you can fill out a form called a BR19. It's probably best to speak to a qualified financial advisor. They can help fill out the form for you. Or you can have a look on the government website and fill out the form online. That will tell you how many years you have and how many years you need to make up. And you can make up any missed years while you've been offshore.
Okay, great advice. Good to know. Gareth's asking about life insurance. Says, wife and I have just had a baby and I feel we should sort life insurance and wills. What's a reasonable amount of cover? We don't own any property.
Okay, good question. So first things first, I'm glad you're thinking about organising a will, particularly because you've had a child.
There is something about being a parent. You think, I'm a grown up now. I really need to get some paperwork
yes,
sorted out.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're thinking about that. I definitely get that sorted out sooner rather than later. And from an insurance point of view, you mentioned that you don't have property. So one of the things that you need to be thinking about when you're thinking about insurance is covering off any liabilities, because should something untoward happen, the liabilities need to be paid first. And then what you need to be looking at is how much money do you need to fulfill that lifestyle that you've currently got? Should you die or should your wife die? I don't know who the cover is for. I'm presuming that you're the breadwinner. So when thinking about the cover, you need to be thinking about the income that you're currently earning, you know, how much you're spending, what is your expenditure, you know, your age and, you know, how long that's got to last you for. But you also need to be thinking about the premiums. It's very much a balancing act between how much cover you want or you need and how much you're willing to pay. You know, if we could all have the maximum amount of cover.
Happy days.
Yeah, we'd do it, wouldn't we? So, again, you know, I'd speak to a financial advisor about that, and they'll be able to, you know, help you plan and work out how much you should be putting towards an insurance policy.
No name on this one, saying, I'm in my late 40s and after many years of suffering depression, I wasn't able to work and start a pension in the UK. I do have around 30,000 in savings, that's dirhams, no property. I feel desperate about this sometimes, that I feel it's impossible to ever catch up with my peer group. Any advice is welcome about where to start and how to catch up.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I'm obviously sorry to hear about your situation. And I'd like to go through this in stages, first of all. So you mentioned that you've got 30,000 in your UAE bank account. It it's really important that everybody has an emergency fund just in case of emergency. So you mentioned that you went through a stage of depression. Some people are signed off work sick or whatever that may be. So it's very important that people try to keep at least 3 to 6 months emergency. You also mentioned that you're selling property. And that you earn a fairly decent salary in Dubai. What I would suggest that at this stage in your life, it makes sense to sit down with a financial advisor and put a plan together. It's really important that you have a plan of action to get from A to B. It's no good just thinking, you know, I'm behind. I need to save for retirement. A financial advisor will be able to work out what you can afford to save and where you need to get to and what the best course of action is.
Hope that helps and wishing you all the best. Do keep us posted. PL is asking, what happens when you default on one credit card? Does it affect your other credit accounts? I'll keep this short. I've got one credit card and only paying minimum payment and I'm really struggling with this debt.
Yes, it can do. I think the other thing to mention, if you have a credit card and you're only paying off the minimum payment, that can be... obviously you're not paying interest, but it can be expensive. Debt is expensive. So in an ideal world, you want to be paying the credit card down, not just keeping your head above water, paying off the minimum payment. But yes, it can affect other credit card ratings.
Okay, so something to bear in mind there, PL. So go to the bank and have a chat if it's something you're concerned about, because I'm sure they're keen to get their money too, and there's always a way of paying it back. Lots of questions coming in for you, Jessica, this afternoon. We're going to get through as many as we can between now and five. And here's a problem I'd quite like. I'm going to be receiving $1 million. No name on this one, saying it's from the sale of a house I own with my ex. Happy renting with my kids here and earn a good salary. No debts, just a car payment. So what would you do with the money?
Oh, what would I do? What would I do with that money? Okay, so again, going back slightly to the question that we had earlier, it really depends on what you're saving for and what you need to save for, where you are in life. You know, I don't know anything about your particular set of circumstances, how old you are, when you want to retire, how much money you need in retirement, but typically speaking, if you're looking at saving for the long term, you should be looking to invest in a diversified portfolio. You want to keep an eye on the costs, make sure that the costs are low. You want to be aiming to utilize passive or index funds. Actively managed funds can be a lot more expensive, and that will put you on the right course.
Or a really amazing holiday.
You could have a very amazing holiday for that amount of money. But you know, I don't think that's a good idea. Maybe you could put a percentage of that money.
Or a course or something that will kind of could set you up in a new career.
I mean, look, you know, money is there for enjoyment as well. It isn't just for saving. It is a balancing act.
We're here for living as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So message me, whoever you are. I can help you with this problem. Ready for a quick fire round, Jessica?
Yes.
All right. Let's help as many people as we can. Mohammed is in JLT. He says, I need to buy personal health insurance for my wife and children because my company has just stopped offering it. Where do I get the best deal and what should I look out for? That's really frustrating. I mean, obviously companies here need to be offering health insurance to their employees, but we are seeing some benefits being cut that, you know, for dependents.
Yes.
Where can people find comparisons for health insurance or good deals?
Yeah, I mean, there are, of course, online, there are quite a few comparison sites that you can use, although they're quite lacking in the UAE compared to some other countries.
There's a Yala Compare here is very strong. I've certainly used it for car insurance, never health insurance, but it is an option.
Yes, it is an option. The other option, of course, is to speak to a broker, and they can, of course, search the market for you. So they will speak to you, find out exactly what your requirements are. For example, will your wife need maternity cover? Do you want dental cover included? They take into consideration your ages, any previous health issues, that sort of thing, and they'll do all of the hard work for you so that you don't have to.
Do that, Mohammed. And how does it work with them taking a fee then? Is it commission on the
typically
insurance?
Yes, typically insurance will have some kind of commission attached to it, but it's looked at as though it's a fee. Yes.
Okay. And Amit in the marina is saying, I've been ripped off by a financial advisor. Who can I complain to in the UAE? Is there a regulatory body?
Right, yes, there's several regulatory bodies, and it really depends on who the company that you're dealing with is regulated by. So it's probably either the Dubai Insurance Authority, or the DFSA. However, what I would say is before approaching any regulator to see if there's any recourse of action, it's probably best getting a second opinion from a different advisory firm, because they'll really be able to get under the skin of, you know, what it is you think the problem is, or why you think that you've been sort of done over.
Can I ask you one last question?
Yes.
Would you think about investing in art?
I would love to. I wrote an article actually on investments of passion a couple of weeks ago, and you know, things like jewellery, art, cars, things like that. And I like the idea of it, but to be honest, Helen, I have no idea. I don't know anything about art.
That's like me. I'd need someone to guide me around.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can, of course, come down to Art Dubai and buy art as well. It's not just for looking. It is a commercial art fair, so do come along. Jessica, where can people contact you and find out more?
They can contact me via my website, which is very easy to remember. So it's financial-advice-dubai.com. And there's a chat button on there and lots of blogs and articles. But if there's something on there that your question isn't answered, then feel free to get in touch.
Thank you, Jessica, for all your insights.
Dubai Eye 103.8 presents an array of independent expert opinions and does not advise one particular view. Always seek independent legal advice which considers your own personal circumstances.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.